Hey, it's Avery Trufelman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment, and if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. You get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
From KQED.
You're listening to Bay Curious, the podcast where we answer your questions about the Bay Area. I'm Katrina Schwartz. Donuts have always been a special treat for me. I'd get one after early morning swim practice when I was a kid. And if you'd told me then I could also get some lo mein or fried rice while I was at it, I would have been so excited. Which brings me to this week's question asker, Jamie Cohen, who's curious about something she's only ever seen in California.
So my question is, why are there restaurants that serve Chinese food, donuts, and burgers all in one location?
Today on the show, we're exploring the fascinating history behind this delicious combo and the donut king behind it all.
Support for Bay Curious comes from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, committed to brewing things the right way since 1980, because when you're a family-run brewery, there's no other way to do it. Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, still family-owned, operated, and argued over. And be sure to stay tuned through the end of the show so you can play our monthly trivia game for a chance to win some cool prizes.
Hey there, it's Olivia Ellen Price, host of Bay Curious, the podcast. KQED Podcasts wants to thank listeners like you whose support makes this podcast possible. If you want to help us continue to make great content, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts. That's donate.kqed.org/podcasts. And thanks.
Reporter Asala Sanapur called Jamie Cohen to find out more about her obsession with donut places that also serve Chinese food.
Paint me a picture. Sure. Can you remember the first time that you saw a sign that said Chinese food and donuts, or donuts and hamburgers, or whatever the combination is? What were you thinking?
So the very first time I ever noticed it was my husband and I. We pointed it out to each other. And so it said donuts and Chinese food and hamburgers. Why are there so many of them? And specifically in the Bay Area, what is the history of it happening here?
I'll see if I can find out.
I want to know the history. What's the history?
Okay, you got it.
All right, cool.
If you've ever gotten off at the 24th Street Mission BART station, you've probably seen the donut shop that first piqued Jamie's curiosity. It's right on the corner, Chinese food and donuts in bold red lettering.
Did you eat breakfast today?
Yes. Early morning, sometimes I feel hungry. I just grab a donut.
This is Jolly Chan, the owner of China Express and Donut.
I'm an immigrant from Cambodia. I came to the United States in 1981, and I have my small business started in 1985. In Los Angeles, and I moved up to San Francisco and have this corner store at early 1993 and continue until now.
Jolly's shop is understated. On the wall, there are neon signs flashing the two wildly different foods he serves.
The donut that we have every day, you have glaze, have sugar.
Donut holes, sprinkles, there's chocolate. A few feet away, there's a buffet-style array of Chinese food classics, like chicken fried rice, pot stickers, and sweet and sour pork.
The most popular item for the Chinese food is the hot chicken wing, the teriyaki chicken, and the broccoli beef.
What's your favorite?
The hot wing and the broccoli.
Jolly says the beauty of this operation is that people can buy lunch and dinner for under 10 bucks.
Yeah, because it's a local customer. Yeah, it's not a tourist spot, it's a local.
Regulars can grab their coffee and a donut in the morning and a plate of orange chicken in the afternoon.
A little spicy, a little sweet.
To some, it may seem like an unconventional pairing. But for Jolly, this deep-fried duo makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because I know both donut and Chinese food. I used to cook Chinese food in Los Angeles.
Which is also where he learned how to make donuts.
Yeah, I learned it from my friend, and the friend learned, from each other.
And those friends learned from one very unlikely entrepreneur.
Ted Ngoi, the king of donut.
Ted Ngoi, the donut king.
Donut time. Very tasty.
The Donut King is pretty much single-handedly responsible for building a donut dynasty across California. Ted was a refugee who fled Cambodia after the Khmer Rouge rose to power during the country's civil war. In 1975, he arrived in California without a penny to his name. One day, he was working at a gas station when he smelled a sweet aroma from a nearby donut shop. Here he is in a recent documentary made by Alice Ju, aptly called The Donut King.
I remember it was a slow night, about midnight, and there's no traffic. I run real fast, come to this window right here. I say, lady, I would like to buy some donut. Say, okay, I sell you a dozen donut. I fall in love with donut from that moment that I have a bite. Donut reminded me of a cake called Nom Kong in Cambodia.
It was love at first bite. Ted applied and got accepted to a training program with Winchell's Donut House. Before long, he'd scraped together the money to buy his own shop. And then another. And then another. Within a decade, he owned 70 donut shops across California. And get this, those iconic pink boxes? That was Ted.
Before we come to the picture, American people always use a white box. One day I asked a salesman, so how about we create some kind of pink box? Because pink box costs a lot less. Even a dime or two dimes, we can save a lot of money.
Ted had a knack for business, and he shared his fortune with other immigrants. He sponsored over 100 Cambodian families to immigrate to the U.S. And when they arrived, he would literally open up his mansion to them. And he taught them to make donuts. At one point, there were reportedly over 5,000 independent donut shops sprinkled around the state. Roughly 90% were owned by Cambodians. Most were concentrated in Southern California, but pretty soon these immigrant-owned mom-and-pop shops started opening up in the Bay Area.
We distribute currently all throughout Northern California.
This is Dorothy Chow of B&H Bakery Distributors, a Cambodian-American-owned company that supplies donut ingredients.
Basically, the whole purpose as it started was to just try to create another option to help our own people.
Dorothy's dad started running the business decades ago as an alternative to the giant companies that held a monopoly on donut supplies. His singular motivation was to support Cambodian refugees like himself.
My dad is actually one of the first groups that escaped out of Cambodia. And on top of that, he was caught into the labor camps that were happening at the time. He's seen really, really horrific things. And I'm sure a lot of these donut shop owners have their own experiences.
Going to her dad's warehouse and selling donuts in the summer, Dorothy spent a lot of time with people who had just come from Cambodia. They worked hard to get a better life for their kids and took advantage of the resources and knowledge around them in their community, learning to cook new cuisines and run businesses.
I mean, if you've gone through war and you've been able to escape and you've lost your family, you've seen terrible things, you know, owning a donut shop is a piece of cake.
Of course, most of these shops deal strictly in donuts, but others have the space, skills, and equipment to make high-profit fast foods that cater to American tastes, like hot dogs and hamburgers.
Why not? Why not make something that can make more money? You know, donuts are fast food that you can get, and they're trying to do the same thing with that lunch category.
Dorothy says there are more donut Chinese crossover shops in urban areas, like San Francisco and Oakland. The reason why? It's back at Jolly Chan's restaurant near the 24th Street BART station.
Hi, can I get a veggie deluxe, please? And I'll get a donut, too.
Jolly Chan says for him, the combination of donuts and Chinese food came out of necessity.
The rent, the cost of employee, the cost of everything in Bay Area is higher than other place. We have to sell more stuff to make up the rent and the expense.
Donut shops in less expensive areas can afford to close when they've sold out. But closing at noon is impossible in urban areas where the rents are higher. So Jolly had to incorporate another food option to appeal to the lunch crowd. He considered burgers, but that would mean competing with the McDonald's across the street. He already knew how to make Chinese food from his early days in the U.S., and it helped his shop stand out on a crowded corner. Jolly says his customers are local to the Mission District.
80% Latino. 80% Latino. They love it.
Or the folks that used to be local. That's all changing now.
In the 90s, a lot of Latino, a lot of live in this Mission District. But now, after they developed the Valencia, yeah, a lot of younger people, they coming and they don't like the way that we sell, the food that we sell, the donut that we sell here. They eat different food.
Jolly says he struggled to keep up with the changes in the Mission. He specializes in the good old-fashioned stuff, like those gooey raspberry jelly donuts or cake donuts with rainbow sprinkles.
What donut used to be?
What did donuts used to be?
It's the traditional donut, not the one that they make up like a cake, like a decoration that costs more than the regular one, yeah.
He's talking about shops like Dynamo Donuts on 24th Street, just a few blocks over. They sell donuts that are local, artisanal, seasonal, organic, you get it. And that competition has been hard for Jolly. But he says sales have gotten even worse with the coronavirus pandemic.
Oh, it dropped more than 50%. Yeah, that's why we don't know how long this is going to be survive.
And that's despite the fact that both donuts and Chinese are naturally takeout-friendly foods.
We used to have 50-50, like 50 takeaway and 58 eat-in. Now we lost all the eat-in, yeah. And the takeaway cannot make up all the loss. We cannot make it, yeah.
Cambodian entrepreneurs like Jolly Chan are survivors. They left their homeland, and through sheer grit, they were able to thrive here in California. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic is forcing them to adjust again. But according to Jolly, everything is changing so fast. And after all this time, he's not sure he has the energy to keep up.
That was reporter Asal Asanapur. We've got a brand new voting round up on our website. Help us decide what to cover next.
How does the Ghost Kitchen at Oakland Food Hall work? I'm curious how it's able to work with so many restaurants and what role it's serving during the pandemic.
What happened to those endangered birds that were nesting under the old span of the Bay Bridge?
What's the deal with the Beaux Arts train station in Oakland? I always see it from the freeway. What's its background and can it be restored?
Head over to baycurious.org to cast your vote. Bay Curious is made by Katie McMurrin, Susie Racho, and me, Katrina Schwartz. Our show is a production of member-supported KQED in San Francisco.
Hi, Bay Curious listeners. Are you ready to play April's trivia game? Every month, we'll read a question here at the end of our episode. You can give us your answers over at our website, kqed.org/baycurious, or just click the link in the episode description. Out of the correct answers, we'll randomly choose one lucky winner to receive an awesome prize package with Bay Curious swag and Sierra Nevada goodies. Okay, our question for the month is, during the gold rush, the most valuable mine in the entire state was in the Bay Area. But it wasn't a gold mine. What were they mining, and where was the mine? Our trivia quiz is made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Good luck!
Hi there, I'm Randa Abdel-Fattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.